combine them if we need to.
Okay, so it looks like $150 savings if we.
But all it takes is one time, I think. When you pay for it, you know.
Well, it's still better than what we were having with the individuals that we got them through ULGT. So
I also have, I kept the slides from last time, so that's what we were looking at.
Wasn't the trust up in the thousands?
Yeah, 3,500. Yeah.
Can we go back to that other one? It's $150 difference.
With $500 deductible.
Yeah, but the quote one.
Yeah.
Is no deductible.
Right.
I think something's gonna happen to them.
I do too.
So I say, and $150 compared, you know. I think something's gonna happen.
Well, I take
something has to happen. I think something's gonna happen. Not, you know, I'm not like looking down on anything, but I don't these drones. I got nephews and stuff, and they crashing. I think it's going to get crashed.
And ULGT, when I was talking to them, they're like, we have lots of claims on drones. So
I say go with the
comment. Don has a comment, too.
Yeah, I think it would be better to go zero deductible for the first year or 2 years, and then we'll see how they go. The technology on these things are incredible now, though. That you can push a button, and it'll come right back to where it lands. I mean, there's not a lot of landing issues like there were now or before. The high dollar drones we're buying are so, you know, they're self-operating. It's like a self-driving car. Well, but I really think that the zero deductible for the first year or two, and let's see how it goes, and then we can switch it.
It's negligible, I think.
Yeah.
I think all it would take is one, and you'd say, oh, we should have got that. I'm Paul James. I move that we go with quote one from State Farm for the drone insurance.
I'll second that. Don Sheffer.
Any further discussion on? Okay. We have a motion, a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. And we'll go ahead and go with the option one. Hey, Richard, you want to discuss number four?
Yeah. So I think before the foggers, we've got everybody hired. But when I interviewed for the drone operator, the guy that I went with, I had 15 people who didn't interview but put in for a application, but two of the guys that I hired, one of them was, his name's Matthew. He actually is a flight instructor up at Utah State.
Is his last name Rigby?
No. Yeah. Markinson Rigby, yes. He's a flight instructor at Utah State, but he also worked for Salt Lake Mosquito Abatement last year. So he's the one I hired. Salt Lake paid him $20 an hour last year, and I says, well, Salt Lake's got a $7.5 million budget, and the cost of living's better here. So I got back with him, and playing with it, he took $18 an hour, which then, so looking at that, you got Matt, who's been here since 2005, who's been with us. He was making $17.63 an hour with the percentage raise that we made. So what I did is I just kind of upped everybody a dollar so that it equaled, so it didn't look like somebody who'd been here for 17 years, 18 years is getting less than the guy that just barely started. Granted, his skill set's a little bit more, but at the same time, longevity to me is more important than skill set in a lot of ways. So with that increase, that only gives me four larviciders. I forgot to tell you this. That gives me four larviciders. So with the drone and Matthew will be able to go out and do both because he's got the, he did both at Salt Lake. That puts us just barely under the budget, but that does not include the snow removal that we've had the last 3 months. I don't know if you guys know, but there was a lot of snow this last winter. And I know it's weird, but so that, but our average over the last 5 years is what I took. I just took the average of both the fogging and larvicide in, and we're looking at about 1,400 hours for the average of the last 5 years. But then you have this year, and that might change. So we may have to play with that budget. We will have to play with the budget in the week, in the coming fall, but I may have to. Chad is only half-time, so I really do have three full-time, and then Chad half, and that I'm hoping that compensation helps so that I do not have to hire the other half-time to make up the full four that we usually have. So going back to our discussion earlier, I'm hoping that the drone will take the place of that half-time right now. But with those increases, it's putting us right at that budget, so
it's reasonable.
What I have is, when Richard and I was talking about this, because in the budget, we did not plan for insurance on this. We did not plan for, and the minute we started talking drones, I realized that, okay, we're risking having to pay somebody probably considerably more than we do our norm right now. So I had him look at that, so we're coming in a lot better than I thought we were going to. But it's still going to be something we're going to have to address this next year. We've got to find some way to address, because, yeah, we got somebody right now at $18 an hour, but the chance for us to just consider that's going to be the way it's going to be, I think that would be erroneous on our part. We got to start looking at a $20 to $25 an hour person and plan for that and hope for the best.
I think we have a great opportunity here, though, because there's actually a drone program at Utah State, so hopefully if we can tap into that, get some of those. My son-in-law graduated with that degree, a drone operator, so it's a good program, and there's a lot of students up there doing it, so if we can tap into that.
That's a lot of, because I went through the Handshake, which is the USU's portal. Well, most of the college have Handshake to do it, and that's where I'm getting my applications from, is a lot of them. There's some that aren't, but there's some that have their Part 107. And this guy, by far, is the most qualified just because he's...
Well, I'm not saying that was a bad hire. I'm just saying that there's a great opportunity that we may be able to keep that fairly low, because if we hire one of the students up there, $20 an hour is a good
rate. It is, but I also want to make sure we keep in mind that we take on a lot of liability with the damage they could cause to a crop or something like that. So we got to be careful in that area to make sure what we're getting is good.
I appreciate your foresight, Craig, because that's something we do need to think about a lot.
But somebody that's skilled like this guy can probably make us money.
Yeah, I'd hope to see a return on our investment for the better labor.
Like Richard says, we'll be able to probably eliminate one half of an employee.
So what does he do after the winter then? After this,
he's been teaching up at Utah State. I don't know.
So his summers are off.
He's a flight instructor, so it'll just be like doing this at night.
Yeah.
So that would be somebody I think we would want to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Down the road and try to keep him,
which then would increase because of his knowledge set. I did go up over spring break. I went on a couple of field trips. We went up to Madison County up in Rexburg, has had a drone system program for the last 8 years. They got four drones. That $40,000 T-40, they've got three of them, and they love it. One thing I did say that would be good is to have a spotter, pay them $10 an hour to go spot, because the person is sitting there on the control and watching this, but you've got somebody who can, and I'll be out there quite a bit this summer working with on that aspect of it too. But that's something, another thing that we may have to, even a kid that doesn't have to spread anything, and paying 10 to 11 bucks an hour just to go up there and watch so that if the drone drops, you know where it's at. Because if you're controlling it, you're looking at your controller here, not watching the drone itself. But that's one thing. And then we went down to Salt Lake County and looked at theirs as well, and they've got four as well. But these are the T-40s that they're big. But it will, I think once we get going and what we have, this is a great start and a great foot into what we're doing. The only other thing with that drones is one of the things we have to do is get a what's called a COA. And I have, working with the federal government and the FAA, is, as you can imagine, is about as fast as molasses running uphill. But I have applied for it, but that's 60 days, so we may be up to 60 days, so we may be flying plate. As long as we fly out of the airport, that's not in the airport, we'll be all right. But I just got to, that's one thing that I found out that I didn't know anything about, so we're working on that stuff.
Yeah, that's good, and I appreciate you going out and doing that. I think my recommendation to the board would be we got to get some guidelines put together on the use of drones. And also, as we continue to purchase, I think it's really important that as we come forth, we have to look at what's the return on investment if we bring on more. Our real only aspect we have is labor, displaced labor, a person. And then you've got a return on your investment.
You won't have as much fuel. You won't have to maybe buy another four wheeler.
Yeah, good. Fuel.
Damage to the four wheelers too, because that's hard on wear and tear for sure.
So I guess
and the COA that I have to write has a lot of that stuff in it. It spells out what we're gonna do, how we're gonna do it. It doesn't do the equipment aspect of it, but that COA is what that will be written up. And the Salt Lake and Madison County sent their COA, and we could copy and paste a lot of their stuff. I just got to put my stuff. It's just waiting for the government to return the stuff that we're doing. But you're right. The cost of fuel, the wear and tear on the vehicles, all that stuff will be the cost of return.
Yeah, you can list out, okay, we want to purchase another one. And if we do it, one less four-wheeler, this much labor will go away, this much fuel will go away, and then as a board we can assess what that's going to do for us.
Yeah.
What's the average life of these? Anything on them?
That's a good question. And as technology has gotten better, they'll last a little bit longer, but they also, they're better, they're easier to fly, and the technology, I mean, the one that I got, this T-40, has got sensors all the way around it that you can pretty much just hit a button and it will take off, come back.
There was a guy that was doing like ash on baseball fields. Same drone, I'm sure.
He's got the T-40, but last board meeting, that's who I met with, actually. He had just got done with Green Canyons doing it. KSL did a spot on him. So I've had him, and then another guy that's doing, he's got a T-40 as well out in Lewiston that's doing the exact same thing, and he contacted me for the same reason. But the problem with them is they want $25 an acre. So you go out and do 100 acres, you're looking at $2,500 right off the bat, and then you have to do that every month. So I'm glad that we're doing it our own instead of, because Utah County did the same thing. Contracting. Thank you. They're contracting with the company. And they saw their budget, all of a sudden they're paying $60,000 to go out. They loved it, So they just went and bought their own and hired the guy that they had contracted with. And
that's
what they did. So. They're electric, aren't they?
Yeah.
They ought to be pretty dirt. I mean, as long as you can get parts.
Yeah.
That's the next question, servicing.
DGI is a company that is very highly respected in the drone world. The other one is Leading Edge. And some of the other districts have Leading Edge, but they've had more problems with the Leading Edge than the DGI. So DGI is why Frontier Precision goes with them, just because of their track record and what they've done.
Well, you'd order parts, right? And the drone operator ought to be able to fix it.
Yes.
He knows how to fly it now, so you don't need to send it in.
Okay.
We have a protocol for the drone flyer to know how and where to apply and how much, and taking factors like wind and
this guy right here, that's was his job at Salt Lake. So all of that stuff with the he helped calibrate it. He helped they basically started last year, and so he helped build that program a little bit last year, and then he was the one who was one of the pilots for it.
It also had to write down a process guide, so if I got to do it again.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I plan on doing.
Use his expertise, because that way we're not starting from total scratch.
Yes.
But it videos also while it's doing this.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So that's
all
another
positive.
All three
other drones have it, yeah.
So if there's somebody ever challenged us, like we've had done before, because somebody drove over their property.
That's a good point. Standard work is important.
I'm wondering if there will be people who will only be able to collect feedback from members of our community who will say, well, I don't want that flying anywhere near my property.
Right.
You know how it is. So we'll have to be able to map it out and let them know where they can and cannot fly.
Are they noisy?
They got a hum to them. I don't know about the big ones. I haven't seen a big one fly, but the smaller ones. The smaller ones, they got a hum to them.
You can hear them.
You can hear them when somebody goes over the top of you.
It's like a bee. It's like a big
bee. You're not going to be in a populated
city.
This is to go over
the field.
Down the field or over the slough.
Exactly. I still will need guys to go up into the retention ponds and throw stuff in, like in Nibley, in those areas.
We'd love that.
The only place that I might use it in Nibley is over there by the Thomas Edison, the Thomas Edison school.
A lot of guys out of there.
Yeah, I know.
It's
but
bad.
You know where the Thomas Edison school there is in Nibley, but there's those apartment buildings and there's that slough right there.
Where the fireflies are.
No, this is
cattails and
south
of the school.
It's got three big retention ponds
It's
that strata.
And it's got the little disc golf course.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So we've pulled a lot of Nibley, there'd be that area and then even the Firefly area. So we're not running through there with a four wheeler, but we're just getting those hot spots. And this doesn't kill the fireflies either. So
Field of Dreams would work great for this too.
Exactly. And the Prophet Flats and we got names for everything.
I also think there might be a point where we need to market this to our valley on a website and let them know what's happening. Why, you know, if they've got questions, they're going to come to our website. They can see the benefit for us.
That's
one of
the things we'll be talking about.
Okay. Any other discussion? That's a good discussion. Should we move on?
Okay. Just one last question. Then the thing, I just want to make sure I'm clear on what you said at the beginning of this discussion. You're confident we have the funds in place to hire or to have all the people we need to do our normal routes. We're not worried about pulling short on any area.
No.
Okay.
We're going to be tight. I mean,
tight, but we can get it done.
We're within $900.
Richard's going to keep a
pencil
limit.
Sorry,
Richard's going to keep it within the limit.
The good thing is they haven't had a lot of water, so there's not going to be that many mosquitoes.
Well, the nice thing is it's flooding so fast the mosquitoes can't stop. They're all just washing right down. They'll be out in Salt Lake County.
And when I go to my manager's report, I'll talk about, because your reply to Sierra's thing, that's when I'll talk about that too. Okay. So, Okay. Discuss ordinance 22-01, 2022 amended budget.
Ta-da. Okay, so this is new for us. So Sierra and I kind of went through and plugged in some numbers, but we're glad we're running it past all of you because we've never done this before. So let me kind of explain what this is. So, you know, at the end of every year, we have extra funds, which is great. And in the past, that's always just all of the extra has been funneled over to our savings account to pay for our new building. But now we have these capital projects funds. So we're going to be moving our extra funds to those capital projects funds. So our actual revenue exceeding the budget, and we can change whatever we want to call this. This is just kind of our notes so we could explain it to you guys, and we can change the paperwork as we need to. We actually had 74,000. Can you guys see this?
If you can zoom in, that'd be great. Can you just
make it? We might need to go to the actual document, and then we can zoom in a little bit
more. I pulled it up so we could have the actual document.
So we have roughly $74,000 over our budget. Is of money that we actually received from the county.
Not over budget, surplus.
Yes, surplus. Yes. So these other numbers, so our general fund personnel, this is how much money we had left in our budget for personnel that we didn't pay out. So we're saying we're taking this much money out of the personnel. For administration, we had this much left in our budget. We went over budget this past year for our abatement funds because cost of chemicals went up, so we need to move money into that one. And then for vehicles and equipment, that's how much we had left. So what Sierra and I did, the facilities capital projects fund, as far as the budget goes, that line is under the administration. So we just moved all of the extra from the general fund administration to the facilities capital projects fund there. So that's what we're doing with that extra money. We didn't have anything extra for the chemicals, again, because we went over in the abatement. And then all of the extra from the general fund vehicles and equipment moved that to the vehicles and equipment capital projects fund. But that leaves us with $61,987 that doesn't have a home. So we need to figure out what we want to do with that money, one. And number two, it's my understanding that if we move money like between the big categories in the budget, that we need to have a public hearing. So for example, since we need to move money into the abatement fund because we went over last, do we need to have a public hearing to move money into
it? Okay. Any budget adjustments can require a public hearing. Okay. But it's not a problem. And this is exactly what we need to do. This is what the ordinance is for, is to make sure that the board understands we plan on some extra money based on history. So this is, we're basically taking it from those other funds and we're going to move to these capital projects. And the 6,000 or 61,000
is what needs to go. This is, Sierra and I weren't sure which.
Well, what I was thinking on Knowles is we split that up, but we still need to put money into the chemicals capital project. We need to make sure we build that up a little bit to cover overages like we experienced. So that 61,000, in my mind, should be split among those capital projects.
We also talked about putting a portion of that towards the building.
Yes, and we could do that because we had one for the building.
But to be right honest with you, the interest on the building is less than the interest we'd get in the bank.
Oh.
Yeah, but we did have a capital projects.
So we could actually just put it in the PTIF and probably make money.
It would. Very good money right now.
Right. That's why I say that rather than paying the loan off, loans at what, it's like 1.5% or something.
Okay. I don't know.
I would say we put some, if, even if it's 5,000 into chemicals, and then we can move the other into savings. I would like to see us start to put some of those capital projects
into
funds.
That PTIF fund.
But as soon as the savings interest drops below 1.5,
right,
we can move it.
Well, you could accrue until we, and we could pay off the building.
We accrue just until we pay the building off.
Just for the building, yeah. Leave it in the savings if it's more interest, but it could change tomorrow.
True.
As soon as it changes, take it out and pay it, you know.
Yeah.
Or chances are, I don't think it's going to change tomorrow or the next year.
Mm-hmm. Interest on savings?
No, yeah, interest on savings.
I don't know.
So in essence, what she's looking, what we're looking for tonight, we have to approve as a board our recommendations.
Well, I think we need to put some a cushion in that, especially to make up the funds for the abatement.
I thought we had a capital projects for the building.
Is that the facilities capital projects fund?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
You know what they want.
So basically, we need to put this $61,000 in one of these three, right?
No.
Right.
In the PTIF.
We're just gonna put all of this in the PTIF.
Well, no, we're gonna put some of it into the.
Some of it into this.
Yeah.
The rest. Into
and I would say, I would for the facilities, what we're going over with right now on the abatement is $7,000, $8,000. So we ought to at least put $10,000 in there.
Isn't it 17,000?
17.
Yeah, it's
17. We went over 17.
So
last
I think we
year.
Ought to just make that up with the revenue balance remaining, balance that budget. Take the 17,000,
so we would. You're right. So what we do is we take 27,000, put to here.
17,000.
No, 27, because then you'll have 10,000 there.
You'll leave 10,000.
For a few, in case we went over in the front, down the road. And then the rest goes to the savings.
That makes sense to me. Does that make sense to you?
That would balance that budget, plus give us a cushion, too.
The idea of these capital projects was to start putting money in those, and then taking whatever under or surplus we had and put it in the savings to pay off the building.
So question, these capital projects funds, the money itself, is it just going to stay in our checking account? Are we going to move it to our savings account? Do we need to open a separate account for these capital projects?
No, it will stay.
In the Zions account?
It stays in the Zions account.
Okay.
The PTIF will go to PTIF.
Okay. Okay.
I wonder, though, if we ought to open up a savings account for each one of those funds, like that $10,000. If we put it in a savings account, it'd be better interest than a passbook account, like checkbook.
Yeah, why don't we check into that?
Because we don't have don't get any interest on our checking account.
Or even put it into a CD.
We
put it into a 6-month CD.
No, we need to talk to.
We're a nonprofit. We got to be careful on what we can do with it. You know.
Right.
I don't know if we can invest it.
Yeah, I don't. There's some.
Let's let.
There's something with. We just can't play the stock
Matt,
market with our extra.
Yeah. Let's let Matt direct us on that.
Yeah, I know. But there's.
Right. It'd probably be good to have Matt take.
Let's have Matt give us a recommendation on. What to do, if we open a savings account, or if we can, on my municipality, my budget is all in the PTIF, so it just stays there. I earn interest off of it.
It'd be good to put it in a CD because we'd get a higher interest rate for sure. But I just don't know if that's legal.
That's where I
keep in mind. The purpose of it is if we get into a problem, you have to be able to access the funds.
It's got to be fluid.
It's not fluid in a CD.
Well, yeah, you just pay a penalty.
Yeah, well.
It's usually not more than what you've got invested.
Yeah, it's the interest.
Basically.
It's 3, depending on the length of it, it's 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
What is that interest?
Yeah, you know, if you put it in there, it wouldn't be that
you would probably make money on it, especially if you put in a 3 month or short term CD.
Let's see what Matt. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if we can. So we better check.
But I think it'd be good to keep those capital funds separated rather than on our regular budget.
They are, and they will continue to grow. I'm just not. Yeah. I can't on a district. I'm not that. So yeah. It might be different there. Matt can tell us exactly what
I think it'd be good to have an accountant take care of.
So I guess what we're saying, if we're all agreed, we'll make a motion on this. We'll take 10,000 plus the 17 and move that into the chemicals capital projects fund. Well, no, we'll cover the overrun for the abatement, and then we'll put the other 10,000 in that equity fund. Does that make sense?
Almost 18,000 actually, because it's 17,976.
Yeah. I'd go with the numbers.
Yeah, so just
that we have the actual overages or
right, and then add 10,000. You're saying
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we're saying the same thing.
Adding 10,000 to the general fund or 10,000 to the capital fund.
To the capital fund.
Okay, to the capital fund.
Chemicals capital fund.
Right,
and if you want to keep it simple, we can up all of them to match 6,000, 10,000, 7,000 or whatever. However you want to do that. Just what we want to start having is a capital fund that grows.
Really, when you do a budget, though, it should all zero out.
Yeah.
It
should.
So that's,
I would use those numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. So do we...
But we'd have to have it be a recommendation to be able to put that before a public hearing.
Well, that's what we're authorizing them to finalize this ordinance tonight with the board's approval. And then they'll get with Matt, and then we'll have a public hearing half an hour before our next meeting. This will explain to the public exactly what we did. And that's good. Just pass it.
So basically what we're saying, if I'm hearing everyone right, so we've already factored in, as far as math goes, we had this much over, this is how much we're moving around. We want to pay off that, so that's what this is. This brings us back to zero. So we want to put 10,000 here on the chemicals capital projects funds, which leaves us with 51,987,31 to move to the PTIF. Okay, is that where you're tracking? Okay. Cool.
So you zero out the general funds?
Yes.
And
yes.
Take care of your capital fund, the chemicals capital fund, with 10,000.
Add 10,000.
And then whatever's left goes to the.
Yep, so
the acronym, whatever
it is.
PTIF. Yes, the savings account.
And
yes.
We can just have the public hearing during our regular meeting. I mean, it's nobody's going to be.
Well, I'm not, we just start 7 o'clock public hearing, 7:15, we go out of it.
Yeah. We CR just needs to know because we need to advertise it in the paper a week or two.
Whenever you open it, then you close.
Last time was just my wife who showed up, so.
I like Paul
Graver.
Okay.
So Wood said, "What?"
Paul James. I move that we adjust that to putting $10,000 in the chemical capital projects fund and lower the rate, the revenue to go into the PTIF to $51,987 and change.
Okay. I have that motion.
Tom Davis and Emily all second that.
You're seconding it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Have motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now Matt will jump in on this and tell us just exactly. That's not a bad idea. If he says we can't open up a savings account for them, then we can do that.
Yeah, I just let him make the decision. Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Okay. Cool. Great. Okay, discuss website administrator options. Who's?
I'm Rhonda.
Richard?
So, right after we got done with our board meeting, we had a company called Streamline that contacted me. They didn't know about the board meeting. They have not contracted, but they have been endorsed by the UASD, which is the Utah Special Districts, Association of Special Districts. But they, what they've done is, and I forgot to look that up, but one of the federal rules for our website is it has to be ADA compliant. For anybody getting on there, they, you know, can blow it up so they can read it, whatever it is. And so they came with a proposal, and you have that.
The video.
This is the video they wanted me to show you, but.
Oh, there's no sound. Except for my computer. We didn't test this.
I'm here to tell you a little bit about why Streamline is the number one special district website platform. Streamline is a software company that's pretty unique. We only make technology tools for special districts. With over 1,000 customers across the country, we've created a platform that's your one-stop shop for online communication. Let's take a look at how all of this works. This includes agenda posting reminders that are customized for your state's requirements, emergency notifications for water shutoffs, burn seasons, or evacuation orders, and automated online forms for just about anything. You can even communicate with the public directly through mass email outreach and social media sharing right from your website. By partnering with your local state association, the National Special Districts Coalition, and the best ADA attorneys, we'll keep you on top of new local requirements so you're never at risk. No need to hire an outside IT firm. With Streamline, you'll have your own team to help you from start to finish. They'll build your new website, migrate your content from your old website, and bring your current URL over so the community never misses a beat. And that's just a sneak peek. If you're wondering if we can cover any additional technology needs, the answer is probably yes. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to streamlining your district so you can provide the best experience possible for your district.
Streamline helped our district with compliance, ease of use for staff, and customer outreach. It has been an incredible tool that we've been able to use. More than one person can now go and update it, and they've added so many new features, and every time I had any problems or a request for features, they were added. The staff was always so helpful. I can't thank Streamline enough for the tools that they provided for special districts.
So with that proposal, they to move it from what our website is now to that one, it would be $250 just for the, and then an annual fee of about $1,440 a year.
That's probably less than we was paying Terry.
So, yeah.
Have you actually had a chance to play with it?
Well, we got on together, so we did a Zoom call, and literally, you go in, I'll have administrative privileges, but it's easy. You walk in, you can go in, I can add anything to it, and then they will make sure that's comply. That's part of that $1,440.
Cool. Is that hosting also?
Yes, that is hosting as well, because I asked that. So
awesome.
We're paying, what is our budget? $500, I think, for the hosting.
That sounds right.
I think so. If that hosting would take go from there, so that $500 that we're using for that is we can take out of that part.
Basically, the only additional cost we'd have is domain name.
Yeah, the domain name and the $250, and that's a one-time migration. That's
pretty good.
$250.
That is really good.
So,
and we just barely paid West Host for our hosting. I wonder if we'd be able to get some kind of a refund if you guys decide you wanted to go with this. Because we paid for the next 3 years, I think, is what it was.
What I'm experiencing right now in my municipality, and that's, I can speak to that because I've just had to deal with this. The positive to this is these folks work with districts. The ones I'm working with work with municipalities, and they know what you need to have. So they're out there looking at what you've got, reviewing it. And also, like this last time around, once all those changes from our last representative meetings and stuff like that, they were calling us, not us calling them, they were calling us and saying, okay, in your areas, these are the places you're going to need to hit. We're going to need to change on your website to make you fall in line with what the government's requiring now. And that's exactly what they're going to give us, is where they work with districts, that's their focus. and nothing else. That's where they make their money. So they, it just provides, and it, unfortunately, all of the government requirements now are moving towards our websites and stuff like that, and they are requiring you by, they're requiring us now to have so much information on there, and it's just, it's impossible for me as, well, I'm a mayor, to keep up on all of it.
Well, another good thing is here is they've got the security, so somebody couldn't go in and copy a website. I mean, that happens quite often, and then they hold it hostage, and not that, you know, that thousands of people get on the Cash Mosquito one, but at least it would be legal, and that's a pretty good reason.
Actually, I knew that you were considering maybe apply or putting a proposal in for something.
Yeah, if I was you guys, though, I would go with this. Because basically what I can do is maintain what we already have. I don't know how to make it ADA accessible.
The big thing
stuff.
Is compliance, whether you like it or not, or it does anything for you.
You
got to
get proactive people behind you.
What does West Host do?
They just host it.
They let us have cashmosquito.com.
So they don't do anything for us.
Well, they, and we, part of what we're paying for is to allow me to go in and like play with the HTML.
They don't do anything. They own something that we do.
So our domain is registered through West Host also.
Yes.
So how much was that? Was that?
I want to say that we paid, it was $500 for 3 years. I'll have to look it up.
I wonder if it's like insurance and you can,
We might be able to. And West Host, their customer support is pretty good. And where we just paid it, I wonder if we could.
I use GoDaddy, and it's pretty about the same. Hosting, and it's not, we don't use it for hosting, but we use it for domain name.
And what we do, what we are responsible for, they're going to make sure the stuff gets on there and needs to be on there as far as abatement type efforts and your concerns about stuff like that. What it'll actually do is they understand the need for customer feedback, so they're going to make sure on our website there's a way to get a hold of somebody.
Well, these electronic forms are nice, and they've got the system to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Another good thing about having West Host is our domain name is they don't have it, and if we wanted to change, we don't have to get it from them.
Yeah, true. And just so you all know, Terry recommended, so we've done it every year. We also pay for cashmosquito.net, just so nobody else takes that and can pretend to be us and the public doesn't know. But it's like $17 for a year. So we have both of those.
Is that just forwarded to our cashmosquito.com?
Yeah. Well, like we pay for the domain name so nobody else can have the domain. There's nothing built on the website.
That domain forwarded to this.
Oh, I haven't ever tried it. I'm not sure. Like if somebody types it in, and I'm not sure.
Because we do that with hiramcity.org.com.
We'll have to try it. I don't know.
So you just have to put a forwarder on that.
Okay.
And there's no hosting. It's all done in the.
Yeah. Okay.
So
maybe what we need to do is just table this for right now until we can find out when we can get back on the other.
I don't think you'll give it back because they have our domain name.
I bet they would. So what we pay for our domain name and then we pay for server space basically. So if we move all of the stuff on our server to
you can transfer your domain name. It's not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to? I'm just suggesting we table until we find out exactly what we can do. I don't care.
We pursue it.
Huh?
I say we pursue it because right now we don't have anybody to update the website. Well,
yeah, I can update the little bits, like adding the agendas and stuff.
To me, what we have on there is fine with me, but to me the biggest thing is compliance.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't matter if the website's crappy. If it's compliant, then that's what we need.
Well, it'd be nice to have it up and running for this season, too, and especially if they have those feedback forms.
Yeah.
That would save a lot on Sierra.
Yeah, it's true.
Are we required to have a competing bid?
No, not for that.
Not on that.
No, with this one, probably not. And the reason why is because they're part of the UASD. And with that, the district, because they're doing that, I talked to a couple of districts that have done it and they love it. Davis County's mosquito abatement in Washington, Southwest, they love it. They said it's easy.
So Davis County uses them.
So if you want to look at Davis mosquito abatement, and it's easy to go in there and change. So all of our board meetings, it's got the calendar. It was, as he was doing it, like, yeah, I can do this.
That's and awesome. It would be way easier than what we do right now, yeah. So that's great.
Okay.
So what do I have a motion on?
I move that we move forward with this, with contracting with this company. The migration.
Don Schaefer, I second that.
Okay, is there any discussion? I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, let's go ahead and move forward with that then.
Be about $1,690 for this first, because of that $250 cap. So
we need to make an adjustment on that.
This is last year's budget.
Oh, yeah, so no.
So, I will. We'll have to make an adjustment on this year's budget, yes. And that may be we have to take some PTI apples.
Is it called Streamline?
Streamline, yeah.
Yeah, Davis's looks great. Plus, it's got mobile platforms.
Exactly.
So it's responsive.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Looks good.
Roof breaks.
All right. The reason I had this put on is the snow came off the shop and tore off one of the gutters. Or not tore it off, but split it. So right above the, they did come and seal it and everything. But I got looking, for some reason, they put roof breaks over the administrative part, but not over the shop. And I asked him why and how we missed, they said just cost. And I'm like, okay, but I would rather have paid it then. So
what's a roof break?
Roof break is, so is it, you've got your angle?
It's a metal
right there.
I got pictures.
You got pictures. So this one on the left is over the administrative, and what it does is it doesn't allow that speed to come down and then all of a sudden dump.
Right.
On the right is the shop area, and if you look, ouch, I'm getting old. Right in here is about where it got split, and it's a big chunk came out and took this gutter.
So they didn't do the whole building.
No.
They didn't do the whole.
No.
Were they supposed to? Or
it wasn't on the plans.
Well, they usually just do it over the garage door.
Yeah.
Where this breaks are.
No, it's
no,
over the
human
over door. The administrative.
Yeah,
but
over
yeah.
the doors.
No,
so
this is
the front entrance, right?
No, this is the the front. So here's our parking.
Oh.
So the front entrance is up here. This is the east side
the
of the building where the grass is sitting right here. So yeah, they did it there. But
and then
yeah,
these
they,
are all the bay doors
where, it didn't
where
yeah,
you
they,
park.
They didn't do it over the bay door.
Yes, over the bay.
That would be nice to have it over the bay door.
It would.
So, you don't
so
have all that snow
Lundahl's gave me a bid and it would come to do that whole roof $1,500 plus a rental lift. So I think a lot of it, last winter we didn't have any problem, but because of the amount of snow we had.
Can we hang a guy off the drone?
Yeah.
We put these on at my work because it ripped all the gutters off. The gutters cost more than the
roof
breaks.
Breaks, okay.
I don't know about snow loads or whatever. That's a good way to do it. The ones they put out in my work were, that's up on the ribs, screwed into the ribs. They put it down in the valleys, and that's not good.
Oh, they put the little angle irons.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah.
You know, this is what our capital projects, something like this.
Yeah.
We will put that into there, and if we get into budget trouble, we can take it from there to pay for this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should pursue.
Okay.
Will they fix the rain gutter for that?
They did. They came in and sealed it and everything. Hopefully they will make it They've made it so it's workable right now, but when they put that on, I'm going to say, hey, let's put that, because you can see the, it tore inside the gutter, those, what do you call them there? It tore them, yeah, and they just went in, put it together, and then I'm screwed a piece of metal on it so that it...
It ain't as good. How much was that repair, John?
Nothing. They didn't charge me for it. Which I'm grateful for, because they didn't put those brakes, but...
Well, the gutter, you tear the gutter off and it's going to be...
More than
than that thing.
And you won't be able to match it either.
So... Probably need a motion.
Do we have a motion to...
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Is done.
Term of price, I motion we have the roof brakes put on the building to protect the rain gutter.
Will that cover the whole building on both sides and that?
No, it's just on the downward side of it, so it'll just be that one side, because you don't need it at the... They may...
Yeah, but that still falls beyond there coming off.
Yeah, but it's sloped the other way. It's sloped
down. Yeah, it's sloped like this. So that break is down here on the downhill side.
So James, I'll second that.
What it allows it to do, the snow will come, but it doesn't come all at once. It just stops.
Yeah, it doesn't all slide off at once.
Okay.
That motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Manager report.
Okay, my truck, I called last week because I hadn't seen it, and they go, they might be starting to build in May or June. I went, oh, okay. Which is even worse than during COVID, because in COVID, it was 6 to 9 months, and 3 months is what it only took. Before that, it was 6 weeks, but so we haven't sold the other truck yet, and we won't until we get it. Do you have the picture, sweetheart?
So I got your spreader.
Okay. This is an update. This is an update on the USU's the engineer. So this is what we have now. And as if you look, this whole system, this is a herd spreader, and that's cast iron. We've got our wand and our sprayer, our sprayer wand and our dippers here. Then a full tank of, we put about 10 to 11 gallons of oil in it. But with everything in there and it empty, it's about 80 pounds. So what we did, what I asked the engineer students to do is come up with a better system. And this is what they've come up with. In fact, Wednesday, we're taking it up to and presenting it. They're presenting it to their professors and everything. This is all, so they've changed the tanks to both sides. What makes it even nicer is I'm able to go back to the last one. Here, you've got these brackets on the side, and to be able to calibrate it was a total pain in the butt. You'd put them up there, and you're getting stuff that's hitting in the back, even though there's a guard right here. But calibrating it, it was a hit and miss. And so what I wanted to do is, with calibrating, there's a couple of things. When you calibrate it correctly, you're a little less resistance, but you're also, whether you're either not putting enough out or you're putting too much out per acre. And because I can't get up underneath there to catch it and get the weight, this worked for us, but it was a pain. And then now what they've designed is, I can take these screws on the outside, pull it out, and then this, I don't know if you can see it, but they've created a thing that comes up over the thing, so it funnels right down, but it pulls out. I can put it up there and then put a garbage can underneath it and do it. And then, but it's made out of aluminum. This is just a agricultural bucket, but total weight of all that's 46 pounds. So basically cut it in half. And so this is what we're gonna try this season. We'll and take it out and see. But most of these, I'm saying a lot, most of everything here, they will give, as part of the project, they'll give us the project plans for it. And so I will have to get some of these things and have them welded, because I don't have an aluminum welder, but take them and get those taken care of. But the other thing I wanted in this, if you notice this plate right here, that can drop down. So as we're driving down the road, on the other one, it wasn't directional. You just drove down and what we call a butt spray, because we'd back up to a borrow pit that's full of water and we just turn it on for a second and then go back down, back it in. This one is directional now. I can move it to this side or this side, and so now I can, whatever side I'm doing, it's just spraying off to that one side or the other. So these four kids they put a lot of work into it, and then these plastic things were all 3D printed, and so, and I do, I got a grant at the school that I do have a 3D printer, and they'll give me the plans for that. I'll just buy the filament through the mosquito abatement and stick it in that 3D printer, and if I need more of those. So all of the plastic stuff right here, but they came up with a good design. Don, you've worked with it. What do you think?
I really like how it's directional. That makes a huge difference.
It does.
Because as you're driving along a dirt road in the canals over here, before we were losing half our product out on the road or on the other side. This time you can shift it that way and it's all going right where we want it to be going.
So you can probably spray less.
Mm-hmm. You'll use less product for sure.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That sounds like you'll save a little gas money too.
The tanks are a little bit smaller. They're 3 gallon tanks, but when I first started, I had a guy that I swear he rolled in the oil because he'd come and just be drenched, but that's what he used. I haven't had to buy larvicide oil the last 2 years because the guys don't use it quite as much. It works for small areas, but 6 gallons a piece, I think, will still be good. And what they did is they've got two tanks here, and then they've got the pump in the middle, and they've made it so that you pump out of this, and then we've got a switch that will pull it out of the other side so that when one goes out, you've got another one to use it as well. So
how much does this thing cost to put in?
I think I haven't seen the final budget. That's what they're working on this weekend, but overall cost, it was about $600 because of the welding stuff. I think it's going to be a little less because their first prototype that they did wasn't working, and so they had to go back, and which cost a little bit more. So that breakdown I will have.
This one doesn't, they're not charging labor either.
No.
So you have to have that made.
I know, but we've got
to. If you have to have that made, it's going to be like
how many do we need?
Yeah. Four of them, or three.
So I don't think we've funded you for doing
right, and I recognize that. So we'll still use the Hertz spreaders, and I'm not going to go out and buy four of these all at once.
That's what I'm saying. We need to make sure that we get this planned,
yeah,
so that you can change them out.
Yeah. So who do you have make them?
I don't. That's the other one.
They won't make them.
Huh?
They won't make us make them.
No, their whole thing is to give make them. And get us the prototype, and then give us the plans, and then we take them to.
And that can be a lot different.
Yeah, that's going to be, I'll bet you it's $4,000 or $5,000.
Aluminum.
Uh-huh.
Give it to me, I'll get it welded for you.
Okay.
For free.
A brick.
You're planning on putting these together? Just have, like, the aluminum welded? And then you're wanting to give the plans to some business to have them make the whole thing, and
if I need to, you know, because if you look off to the left hand side, that's the sheets, and what they did, they just took a plasma cutter and cut them out. So those, you know, those are the things.
Okay, so is this something we probably want to compromise?
Yeah,
if you need some welded, get it to me.
those cables work for you that I got fixed?
Yeah. I like them too. Thank you. Okay, this, actually, no, I know what you're talking about. Yes. I won't know until this summer because you gave it to me right at the end of the season, so I'm hoping. One of the things that with foggers that has been driving me nuts is when I took over from the health department, what they did is we put these 4x4s and just basically boxed them in, which kept them in there. But when you're going down a dirt road or something, it's bouncing. One of the things that we had to do last year was for the truck that we're selling has a big hole in it because the fogger put a hole in it. So Hayden got this bright idea. Go ahead. And he is now, what we'll do is we will bolt these down, and this is the new system. So it's not going to move one way or another. We're not putting any more holes than what we did before in, but this will save our beds from having to maybe have to be replaced before we sell them. Because
is that just a crate you're putting that on with? You can get them out with the forks.
Yeah, no, this is the London foggers come with a lip right here anyway, so that you can come up underneath right here.
I have mine just on a pallet.
On a pallet.
It's heavy enough. It doesn't ever move anywhere.
Doesn't it?
No.
Yeah, this they're on a crate right here, and so you can get up underneath them, and so he's welded along the edges.
18 years old.
So yeah. But there's a close-up of what it looks like, you know. So it just bolts right down to the bed now. It'll be easier to clean up underneath here because I don't have a 4x4 sitting right there. I
use existing bed bolts.
Yes. Well,
no
because those bed bolts would have gone through the... So here's your existing bed bolts here. But that was the other reason we went up to the other. One day we went to South Salt Lake, we went to Davis, we went to Salt Lake, kind of to see how they mounted their foggers in the back of them. And every one of them, in some way, had to drill a hole into the beds to do something. We just came up with a system that works for us. So
what's underneath?
Nothing. We made sure that we're not.
I mean, it's a bolt with a nut, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, the bigger the washer, the better, and then they pull out or bend.
Yeah.
If you hit a bump, it's going to bend the bed.
If those are going up,
yeah, it's going to bend them.
I agree.
The bed.
So we've got on top, we've got those ones, but
top won't matter, but the bottom had great
you want
big,
a bigger one, yeah,
like a big, yeah,
heavier one.
Plate of metal, make your own, yeah.
Okay. And we can do that. We haven't put one. We haven't got them in yet, bolted down. That's what we've been working on this week, but we can do that. So, just the design change that will hopefully not put holes in, around the seams of the beds. It's pulling the seams of the
room. Like they're massive.
Vibration
holes.
Critical on these things.
What's that?
Is it important not to have any vibration on them?
Not necessarily, because
you can buy some vibration pads.
And we thought
maybe
about
set,
doing
set a piece
that.
Of rubber underneath that.
And we've got some rubber from when we on the old style of the Hertz spreaders on the four wheeler that we could put underneath there. So we could do that, but we'll see how it works. If this is working, then we'll keep it. If not, then I'll put those rubber ones, because the old place you're boxing it in, but you still got some play. And, you know, it can do this, but it's not doing all this and everything.
Okay.
So. And
that's all I got for you.
That's all for me. Okay. Website, Senior Design Night, other than that. Thank you, Tom. Tom asked to put on the thing, but this is just part of the manager's report. To be honest with you, Tom, I don't know what the season's going to be like. Every year I think, okay, I've got this. Like last year is a great example. Last year, the state of Utah started seeing the West Nile virus 2 weeks earlier than normal. So I thought this is going to be a crazy year, because usually the West Nile virus comes in on those seasons that it's hotter and drier, and which last summer was, and we didn't have one West Nile virus. In any of our traps, there was no human cases that was reported or anything like that. So to go from it being 2 weeks early in Davis to not have anything here, I was totally flabbergasted, honestly. This year, sometimes with the water, it creates more habitat, but at the same time, a lot of water means that it's more going to be a little more isolated, that and so finding those areas where we can treat is going to be sometimes a little bit easier than those places like last summer where it's hot and they're concentrated in one spot and it's hard to find those. So I don't know. If I could guess, and talking with other districts, if I could guess that our floodwater mosquitoes are going to be our biggest pain this year. And they're the hardest ones to get rid of, just because, if you remember 2 years ago, the Aedes dorsalis that came out in the end of August, that they stayed down in that vegetation, and they're more of a day biter, but they're, like I've said before, they're our number one nuisance mosquito. They don't carry any diseases, but they're the number one nuisance mosquitoes that people call on, but they're the hardest ones to get rid of, because fogging doesn't do much good because they stay down in that vegetation. So, but we'll do what we can.
Do we have an approximate range of when we'll be starting our spraying?
Depends on how fast it warms up. Usually every year that I've been a manager, it's either been the last week of May, first week of June. So, and I haven't got a schedule out, so. But I think now that's everything.
It was nice to have those pictures. That's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Once in a while, I am prepared.
Hey, Richard.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to administrative manager report.
Okay, so we have our budget public hearing, which usually happens at the end of every year, is going to be on November 9th this year, the day of our regular meeting. But the latest they could schedule is at 6. So that is not our regular meeting time. So we wanted to make you all aware of
that. We don't have an option on that. That's, we don't have an option. They determine when it is, and you go by that schedule. So what that'll mean is we'll start at 6:00. The public hearing will be at 6:00, and we'll just go into our next meeting right after that. Yep. So we just need to make sure we are kept reminded of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't have an option on that.
The county deconflicts every organization's public hearings. And so it was actually Benson that their meeting was at 7:30 that night, I think. And so if we had ours at 7, it was too close, so we had to move ours earlier. So that's why this one has to be at 6.
Talk to him about that.
Benson has a public
Well,
Benson, we're going to get saved.
Because it's an unincorporated.
Chances are there's more people in Benson that will go to their public hearing than people who come to the CMAG.
Probably.
Probably.
Okay.
So we'll plan on that.
Yep. So that's all I have, right?
And yeah, and then just the bills.
And then we have our bills. Okay. So this is just, everyone has a copy, bigger copy of it in their thing. So this is just a snapshot.
Yeah. We'll move on to approving the bills. Review and approve.
Oh, yep. Sorry.
I have it. I think this is a good time, the best time to bring it up. And I don't know if it has to be on a agenda. If we do, we can talk about it next week. But it's like when we do our payroll, is it all going to? So you guys are all on direct deposit, right? What about the foggers and what are they going to do? Okay. So every time we sign the checks, now that they're direct deposited, but when we have the checks, two of us signed every payroll check. But also, you know, and that's a check between the but also there's a hours log. And some kind of a supervisor has to go over these logged hours of every employee and sign them, and we keep them on record, right?
We do.
So all the foggers and the seasonal employees, Richard is their supervisor. So he signs their log, and I've seen those. They've always been attached to the check. But with the manager's checks, they can't sign their own log, their hours log. So when they bring it to us, you see them, I usually sign it. I'm usually the first one that signs the checks. So I kind of look at the hours and sign them. But I don't know if we're still doing that, or like we had I had a question with Sierra because about that. I think it's a statute that has to be done even with direct deposit. So like with Richard's logged hours and also now Sierra's, I think there needs to be a log, and somehow like when you sign checks, you know, we could look at it, or somebody else could look at them and sign it off, because we sign off that we agree with that, and we so keep that, it on record. But we didn't have it this last time, and I think
that was right when they transitioned, so I probably missed it.
That's why I brought it up, to make sure but they need to be, if I'm not mistaken, they need to be signed by the board, just checked. Yeah.
Like it has been in the past.
Yeah.
I would expect you're going to, regardless if they're automatic deposit, you should still see that log.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to make sure it was still, because I don't know if Sierra knew about it, and it all went to the direct deposit all at once kind of thing. I realized yesterday, I haven't seen those things.
So we can do, or Sierra can do, whatever you guys want. Like, you can, like, if you want it emailed and then say, yep, good to go, and then she can run the direct deposit. Like, do you guys want to see it before money's deposited, or however?
I don't know what the statute says, but I would think that's probably the way it's done. I don't think you write the check and then okay the hours. You know, that would, you know, we'd have to read the statute, but that's kind of what seems right to me. I don't know what anybody else thinks. We could check on that.
Because we have all the, Sierra has all the
laws. I'm like 99.9% sure there's a statute. We have to do that. Now, I don't know if we can sign it after the check's sent out or not. I don't know.
I would think you'd want to get it done, but the crucial thing is to get it done before you pay it.
Okay.
And the mileage, you know, all that stuff. The mileage log, you know.
Does that change with salary? Because I still keep all that and keep the hours and everything.
Yeah, I don't know what it, I don't know what the stat, what it says, but I know.
No, the board approves his salary.
You'd be exempt.
So I don't know if we have to do his or not. We maybe need to check on that, but it seems
we do that when we approve his salary every year on the budget.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, from what my mom left me, is Richard has still been tracking his hours, just mostly so we can put it in the annual report, just so you guys can see, like, we're paying him this salary and these are the hours that he worked. Mm-hmm. So my understanding is, if you guys didn't want to see the hours, he wouldn't need to track them. But if you want to see the annual report, then we'll track them.
I would think, you know, and this might be just making stuff up, if we're assembling it all together, his, and I guess it would only be the two of you, keep them together, they could just be kept together and looked at.
Salary people could be a review process.
And that's kind of what
I'm talking, when I say salary, I mean exempt. Non-exempt would have to be a prior approval.
On those sheets I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's...
With the checks, you mean?
Yeah,
I don't know, I just want to make sure we do, you know, that's part of the whole thing, is, you know, making sure we do it right.
Right, yeah.
And don't get stuck.
Yeah, their salaries, these two salaries are approved when we do the budget, so the whole board has to approve that. Mm-hmm. Then they're covered, they're an exempt position. It's good he's keeping the hours. We don't have to, but it's good he is.
Richard's.
But not Sierra's.
No, not Sierra's.
Sierra's, yeah. Sierra's an hourly.
Yeah.
So all hourly, non-exempt, usually hourly people, you would have to approve that before the checks go out.
So the employees we have now for direct deposit, they have the employee sign it and then Richard signs it.
Yeah, he's their supervisor. And
so would you need to see those timesheets, or really,
no,
is it just mine?
No, no.
So yeah, just yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's there responsible for that, you know. It's just a double check on.
No, totally get that. So he's good to keep it. Once he signed it, then I can put it into direct deposit. But with mine, make sure you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or the employees also, right?
No, I don't think we have to sign that. A board member has to sign them. Because he's their supervisor. And it's like, we are their supervisor. So a supervisor has to okay it, basically, and sign it.
And this is, I guess, more personal preference for you, Kermit and Dave. In my mind, part of the appeal of direct deposit is then we wouldn't have to spend the miles and accrue the mileage to drive to your office. So
yeah,
it's
a juggling that kind. I just want to make sure, I just want to make sure we get it, that it didn't get forgot in the transition.
Right. Yes. That's
so
good. And
okay with an email?
Yes.
What,
that was my question. Yeah.
Do you want an email or do you want a physical copy of it?
Well, an email would probably work, but it needs to be
signed.
And then whoever it's emailed to needs to okay it back, I would say, before it's.
How much is the Adobe?
But it still needs to be signed.
We've just been using the free version.
I'm just saying, I wonder how much it is, because you can get one so that you can.
Digitally.
That's a good question.
And,
well, but you can scan it, a PDF scan, and send it back too, so. You should be able to have. After I'm down, I don't see a need for that. But he ought to be able to look at it, review it, and an email back saying, I approve, and then making sure he signs and turned in next time around.
When do your checks get deposited?
So we run payroll. It's deposited the next morning.
On like when, though? The first of the month?
First of the month. And when we go, and the seasonal employees are paid twice a month. So beginning of the month. Oh, but we don't care about that. Sierra's paid once
really
a month, so beginning of the month.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, however.
And this time, since I'm coming Monday to get the bank card, I could bring in my timesheet this time around.
Yeah.
So we can look for.
I don't know if Dave could sign. I don't, probably anybody could, but.
Anyone except Richard.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure we were doing that right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's good.
No,
that's good.
It's way up there.
Okay, so
we just need to approve the bills.
Yeah, so mainly the bigger things is Richard got larva sighting supplies, so that's a big chunk. Maintenance has been a lot of like the stuff that he's been using to build, make the fogger stable, and that. And then we had some.
No, it didn't cost $800 metal was a little bit of it, of course, but it's. It's the season.
So a lot of maintenance for the season. And then we had some dues for like the P.O. Box renewal, so I had to pay the yearly so we could keep our P.O. Box, our NNT registration. And then we had a lease come in for our pickup truck, so that's where that $4,000 came from. And then everything else is the normal amounts and monthly stuff.
Gas is going down, yay!
We have turned off the heat in this shop, so.
Paul James, I say we pay the bills.
One second. I
have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's okay?
Okay, I missed that.
That's it. Guys, better call Joe. Make sure he's here next time. So not
you're fired.
That was
I think a lot was his stuff.
Tom Davis, second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That was me. I talked a lot tonight. Most of that agenda was for
record tonight.
No, you're
late today.